Woo! Wow. Pastor Matt. So I love when Danny Silk came. I just every time a New Zealander says Pastor Matt, I just keep thinking of what Danny Silk said when he came and was introduced as Pastor Danny. And he said, normally if someone uses that term, it's pastor. But in New Zealand, it's pasta. It's like we're the holy noodles. I feel like a holy noodle sometimes. I sometimes have to run around in the shower to get wet. I'm that skinny. And so sometimes I feel like a noodle, you know, a holy noodle. But yeah, so anyway, so I am your holy noodle, Matt. And so thank you for the introduction, Andy. I feel encouraged by that. Jesus. Well, I've had an awesome couple of days. My wife and some of our wives here have gone to Melbourne. They've left Melbourne, Australia, for a holiday. And so, man, I've been daddy daycare for like days now, and it's been awesome. I've been loving it. I've been loving just being myself, being the dad who I've been called to be with my kids, and adventuring. And I took them out on the boat yesterday, and we adventured to some deserted beaches, and we cooked sausages, but we forgot the sausage cooking platform. So, you know, you've got the gas cooker, but you've got nothing to put the sausages on. And so you have to precariously balance the sausages on like one little, you know, like the steel bits. And you have like one sausage kind of like just intricately balanced over the flame. And to turn the sausage, so there's sausage just all over my cooking now, just sausage everywhere. And anyway, just had an awesome time with my kids cooking sausages and hanging out. And yes, yes. So anyway, so thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I'm just coming to grips with the fact that I'm in front of you now about to share a message. And so just give myself some time to think about what I'm going to say. Thank you, Jesus. Well, God, we thank you that you're here right now. We thank you that you are excellent at being yourself, that you don't know any other way apart from being yourself. Thank you that you are the most integrous person that there is. Thank you, God, that there is no other way for you other than you being you. And thank you that you are you right now in this room. And you are looking for ways to express who you are in this room. And so we just give you room to express right now, Holy Spirit. We give you room to express, Father. We give you room to express, Jesus. And God, we ask you to absolutely wreck us with who you are. We ask you to unveil to us even deeper who you really are. God, we want to see you clearer. And in seeing you clearer this morning, God, we want to see us clearer. We want to see your glory, behold your glory as in a mirror, and see even more so who we are. If you're in agreement with that, you could feel free to say amen. 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 Well, hey, I just wanted to share some stuff that's on my heart that I've just been pondering on this week. I've just been thinking about this week. It's just been the stuff that's been rolling around in my spirit this week, and I'm just going to share it with you. And I was thinking about that verse that you will know the truth and the truth will make you or set you free. That word truth is, you could replace that with the word reality. That you will know reality and it will cause you to be free. That word know is experience, experiential knowledge. You will, in other words, you will come into this place where you begin to live in the reality, where you begin to live in the experience of the truth or reality from God's perspective, and it will set you free. You will experience freedom once you step into the place where you are experientially living in the reality that God defines as reality. The reality that you're living in right now is not necessarily real. The reality that is your life is the result of you living what you think is real, which is not necessarily real. Because our definition of reality is not always the same as his definition of reality. And our definition of who we are is not always the same as his definition of who we are. Yes. And as we come into alignment with his definition of reality and his definition of who we are, and we step into the reality of that and the experience of that, then we find freedom in that place. Because outside of that place, there's always a sense of this feeling of this kind of idea of, yeah, life is good, but it's just something, and you can't quite put your finger on it, but there's something missing. There's something, I feel boxed in just a little bit. Probably everyone in this room knows that feeling of like, even right now, in the way that you're living your life right now, there's something in your life, like so many things are going well, but there's something in your life that's like, oh, I can't quite, you know, like I know that there's more. Yes. You know that feeling of like, I know that I haven't quite seen it yet, but I know that there's more for me. Like I know that there's a greater expression of what it is to be Matt Lansdowne that's waiting for me. I haven't quite stepped into it yet, but I'm stepping into it. I'm celebrating every step that I step into it, but I haven't quite fully stepped into it yet. I'm stepping into it. And there's a sense of there's still more steps to take. Can anyone relate to that feeling? Of like, I think I'm going pretty well, but what is that thing? There's something of a reality that is assigned for me and designed for me that I haven't quite fully stepped into yet, but it's right there for me. And if I could just see what it is, I could step into it. If I could just see what is available to me, that would give me the opportunity, or I wouldn't need to do it, but it would give me the opportunity to step into it, because unless I can see it, I can't be it. The seers are the beers. The seers are the beers. And so I've been thinking about this and thinking about how one of my goals in life is I want to fully, at the end of my life, be able to say, I was me. I fully expressed who God called me to be. At the end of my life, Matt Lansdowne was fully able to express the fullness of Matt Lansdowne as God defined Matt Lansdowne. That's one of the goals of my life. I want to be able to step into the fullness of what it is to be me, the me that God made me to be. And that is an act of worship towards God. And my prayer and my heart for you is that you would also have that same desire to step into the fullness of what it means to be you. Part of the reason for that is because the world needs me to be me, and the world needs you to be you. We need each other to be who we are. And without us being ourselves, we will feel not free. But in us stepping into us, we begin to feel and experience what it is to be free in Christ. I want to talk about what it looks like to be free in Christ. And I was just thinking back as I was pondering over some of these thoughts. And I was thinking about the moments in my life where I said in my spirit or often out loud, man, I was born for this. Have you guys had moments where you've said those words or words similar to that, where you've seen something, you've been a part of something, and you've said those words, you've said, oh, I was born for this. Like yesterday when I was taking my kids to the beach on the boat, even though Sienna was a little bit scared of the boat and the water, but the adventure of hanging out with my kids, I was thinking to myself on the beach, I was born for this. And what it taught me in that moment is this is something, I am experiencing something of what it is to fully be me and express me. This fully fits with something in me is connecting with what's happening on the outside of me, and I'm realizing that I'm actually experiencing the truth and being set free. I'm experiencing the reality that God has designed and assigned for my life, the reality of what it is to be Matt Lansdowne, and something in me is registering and connecting with the thing that's happening on the outside of me, and there's a freedom in that in that harmony with my external life and the internal life that God's put in me, and I'm experiencing what it is to be me, and I'm saying, whoa, I was born for this. And then in that moment, I can learn something. I can learn that these kinds of things, me being a dad to my kids and me being a dad that takes them on adventures, is part of who God has called me to be. So if I can make room now for those moments more so in my life, I can make room for me to be me more in my life. Yep. I remember being, just recently, we were praying for someone in Indonesia. And they had cancer. They had tumors all over their body. They were riddled with pain. They said that this lady hadn't smiled. They're in a wheelchair. She hadn't smiled for a whole year. No one had seen her smile for a whole year. She's been depressed for a whole year to the point where no one had even seen her lips move upwards for a year. And we were there. And the family brought this lady in before the service to she couldn't sit through the service, but she brought her into the service so that we could pray before the service. And we started to pray. And the family is just around, just weeping with gratefulness and thankfulness that we would take time to pray for their mum. And their mum has got a big smile on her face, and she's weeping. And I didn't know at the time that she hadn't smiled for a year. She's got this big smile on her face, and she's saying to us, all the pain is gone, all the pain is gone, all the pain is gone. For the first time in like a year, all the pain is gone, all the pain is gone. And she's just there, and she's just weeping. And her family comes up. One of her daughters comes up to me, grabs me by the arm, and pulls me right in close to her, and just starts weeping over me. And she says, I don't know. And she can't get the words out. She's like, I don't know how to thank you. I don't know that this is. I don't know. I can't thank you. This is. And she's stumbling over her words, and there's such a gratefulness and such a joy that she's seen her mum smile. It's more than the pain disappearing. They're grateful for the pain disappearing, but what they're more grateful for is their mum is happy for the first time in a year. And I thought to myself in that moment, I was born for this. Matt Lansdowne was born for moments like these moments, where people are encountering God and encountering hope in hopeless situations for the first time in some of them years. And I think of these moments and I think, I was born to see God expressed through my life in this way that causes people to be set free. And I think to myself, in those moments, a wise man would make space for more of those moments in his life. Because I want to live every day with this thing rolling around in my spirit. I was born for this day. Because every day that you live, you were born for. But not every day that you live are you doing what you were born for and expressing who you are in a way that you can truly say, I was born for this. But a wise man or a wise woman would take note of the moments in their life where they say to themselves, I was born for this, and they would assess the rest of their life, and they would make space for more of those moments to happen on a daily basis. The moments where you can live in the reality of, I was born for this. Yes. And the only way we can do that is if we are presented with a vision of what it is to be us. When we can see what it is to be us, and these moments are moments that help us to see what it looks like to be ourselves from God's perspective. There's something there's a witness in our spirit of this is what it is to be me. And when we can see it, we can be it. When we can see what is available to us, then we can step into what is available to us. When we can see reality from God's perspective, we can step into the knowing, the experience of that reality, and be set free. It's only when we can see it that we can step into it. So I want to speak to this. I want to speak to our identity. I want to speak to your nature. I want to speak to what's available to you this morning. And then I want to leave you with something at the end of this message. But I want to just share about who you are. There are lots of specific individualized aspects of who you are. For example, nobody in this room apart from Dean is Dean. And if anyone tries to be Dean other than Dean, they'll do a bad job at it because there is already a Dean. Dean's already taken. Dean is Dean. And there are things about Dean that are unique and specific to Dean that are not true about anyone else other than Dean. And so while it's true that there are lots of individual, specific, unique things about each one of us, there are some things that are generic. There are some things that are part of all of our nature, that are part of all of who we are. And I want to speak to those things that are true of all of us in the room. Sometimes we can hear things like, for example, you hear me tell the story of the cancer person, the pain leaving, or the tumor's been pulled out of the lady's throat by God last week. I shared that story, and you can hear those stories of healing, and you can say, "Oh, that's cool, that's you, Matt." But I'm more into like heart healing. But actually, the truth of the matter is, this is available for you too. You just haven't seen it yet. This is part of who you are. Physical healing, miracles, signs, and wonders is part of you expressing who you are, whether you know that yet or not. You will learn to know that as you begin to see the effect that physical healing has on people's lives and the way that God moves through your life in that way. You'll begin to be convinced in those moments that this, in fact, is you. But unless you see it, you can't be it. So I just want to talk about some of the things that are true of all of us. Some of the things that are true of all of us. And in 2 Peter 1, verse 4, it says this. Actually, we could actually start in verse 3. I love to hear over this side, pages turning. This is good. And there's some pages. Frankie, thank you for bringing that. And Mark, amazing paper Bible you've got there. Thank you, Lord. Retro. So we got verse 3. Says this, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great, which by the way, that word exceedingly great, it's one word in the Greek, exceedingly great. It's the only time in the Bible that word is used. Exceedingly great. This is like mega, mega, exceptionally great. Greater than all the other greats in the Bible. Great, great, great. Exceedingly great and precious promises that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature. In other words, the nature of God. You may be partakers of the nature of God, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. You may be partakers of the nature of God. So one thing that is true about each one of you, including me, is that we have been invited to partake in the divine nature of God. What that means is that your nature is in alignment with his nature. Who you are is just like who he is. You are just like God. And you have access to step into, and you have an invitation, according to Peter at least, you have an invitation to actually step into the divine nature. And stepping into the divine nature is to step into who you are. Who you are is a reflection of the nature of God. In other words, what God is like is what you are called to be like. For you to be yourself is to be like him. For you to be yourself is to be like him. What is God like? Well, the ultimate answer to what God is like is God is 100% like Jesus, and Jesus is 100% like God. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So to see who you are, you first of all have to see who God is. And to see who God is, you see who Jesus is. And when you see the way that Jesus lived, you see the way that you have been called to live. And in choosing to live that way, you experience the truth and the truth will set you free. Choosing to live what way? Choosing to live the very way that Jesus lived. And there's a reason I made a point of some people, when I say miracle stories, they say, yeah, Matt, that's you. You've got a ministry of healing, which Maybe I do, maybe I don't. But what I want to say is this is you too. This is not just me, and this is not just for the people who have a ministry of signs, wonders, and miracles. This is for everyone who is called to live out the truth of their identity as a reflection of the nature of God. Because to live out the truth of who you are is to live the way Jesus lived. And if everywhere that Jesus went, people were healed physically, not just in their hearts. Everywhere that Jesus went, miracles happened. There wasn't one place he didn't, I'm telling you, everywhere he went. And the thing is, if there were some places he went where miracles didn't happen, then you could say, oh, maybe that's just for you. But this is a generic thing about all of Jesus' life, is that everywhere he went, miracles happened. So therefore, miracles are for you. Therefore, for you to be you requires choosing a life of the miraculous. Because that is not just an expression of who God is, that is an expression of who you are as someone made in the image of God reflecting the life of Jesus Christ. So next time you see a sick person, you can take it as this. You can take it as a divine invitation to step into the reality of who you've called to be as a person made in the image of God. Now, is that scary sometimes? Totally. Can that be a challenge sometimes? Absolutely. Is that an excuse to back away from that? No. Let's just step into it. Who you are is waiting for you to step into. So we've been invited to be partakers of the divine nature. We've been invited to be partakers of the divine nature. I don't know about that. I apologize for just getting a little bit excited about that. It is, to me, very exciting. Now let's have a look at Colossians 3. This stuff just excites me. Colossians 3 says this. We just start in verse 3. This is good chicken, by the way. Start in verse 3. Actually, we'll start in verse 1 just to make it make sense, because it's worth this. And because in my Bible, the whole thing is highlighted in yellow. So we're going to read the highlighted parts. I can hardly read it because I've written over it so much, but I'm going to try. If then you are raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. For you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Whoa. I'm going to come back to that verse in a second. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. And then skip right down to verse 10. And it says, it's just talked about from the other verses in between, talk about putting off the old man, putting off the old way, putting off the you that was your own self-definition of yourself. And take on the new man, which is God's definition of you. And then in verse 10 it says, and have put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge, experiential knowledge. You will know the truth and the truth will set you free. Who renewed in knowledge according to him, according to the image of him who created him. So what he's saying is take off the old man, which I would define, and you can read this through, but this is, I'm 100% convinced of this, that the old man is your definition of yourself outside of his definition of you. The old man is what you come up with about yourself outside of any influence from him. Put off the old man, your definition of yourself, and put on the new man, which is renewed in the knowledge. renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. In other words, the new man, the new you, the real you, the you according to God, the you according to God's opinion of who you are, is in perfect harmony and perfect alignment with who he is. In the image of he who created you. That when you see him, you get to see yourself. So let's go through, let's go back and let me just speak to some of these verses. Verse 3 says, "For you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God." Your life is, you died and your life is hidden, which I think that word hidden is what it's, the what it's really emphasizing with that word is kept safe, hidden from danger, kept safe, put in a safe harbor. Your life has been kept hidden. In other words, where there's been attack, where there's been everything trying to steal your life from you, trying to trick you and trying to deceive you to make you believe that you are someone that you're not, that God, in fact, has kept your life hidden in him. He's kept it safe in him. Your life has been hidden with Christ in God. Your life has been kept hidden with Christ in God. Your life is in God. The truth of who you are can only be found in God, with Christ. That word with is a word sync, to come into alignment or with. It literally means that your life stands alongside in perfect alongsideness, stands alongside the life of Jesus. What that means is that when you see Jesus, the way Jesus lived is the way that you've been called to live. It's like if you go to a supermarket, and sometimes I go to supermarkets, and every now and again I go to the wine section, which I'm sorry if that offends anyone. But every now and again, just, you know, a small glass of wine with dinner, I think is awesome. And also, Jesus did that too. So there you go. There's my justification for that. And it's my communion. And so sometimes I go to the wine section, and on the bottom shelf are the cheaper wines. The middle shelf is the middle range wines. And the top is always the most expensive wines. And there are different sections. The cheap wines are found with the cheap wines. They are hidden. The cheap wines are hidden, hidden with the cheap wines in the wine rack. The medium quality wines are hidden with the medium quality wines in the wine rack. But the high quality wines are hidden with the high quality wines. They're not with the cheap quality wines. They're with the high quality wines in the wine rack. Your life has been hidden with Christ in God. In other words, if Jesus is top shelf, you are not medium or low shelf. You are with him on the top shelf. You are with Christ. The quality of who God has called you to be and made you to be is alongside the quality of Jesus. And the truth of who you are is found in God. So you have been. So you died. Your old idea of who you were died with Christ. And there is a new you that has always been who you are, who is with Christ, hidden in God, hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is you, our life or your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. And I was trying to think about how to explain this verse. And what I've done is I've just rewritten it. I went to the Greek and I researched all the Greek words, and I've done a big study on this, and I may polish this off a little bit better later, but due to the time frames of adventuring with kids and stuff, this is what I've come up with so far. So this is from digging into the Greek and discovering a deeper level of what this verse means. That we died. And when Christ, who is our life, appears, we appear with him in glory. When Christ, who is our life, appears, we appear with him in glory. So let me read this according to Matt Lansdowne's version. This is my translation of the Bible. I don't feel very qualified to give a translation of the Bible, but this is my translation, at least of one verse. Whenever Christ, who is our state of being, or who is an example of who we are, or who is our life, is made manifest and visible, at that time, manifest and made visible you are. Also manifested and brought in sync with him, with who he is. Let me read that again. Sorry. It's like using the same, in this passage in the Greek, it uses the same word like four or five times. So it's super hard to make it make sense with English, but it's actually emphasizing something that's very important. Whenever Christ, who is our state of being or our life, is made manifest and visible, at that time, at the time where he is made manifest and visible, manifest and made visible is your life. You are also manifested and brought in sync or alongside up to the level of who you are, in sync with who he is according to glory, which that word glory is God's opinion. It literally means the good opinion of God. The word glory, doxa in Greek, literally means the good opinion of God. God has a good opinion of who you are. According to Genesis, a very good opinion of who you are. And as when Jesus, who is our life, is manifest and made visible, at that time, our lives are made manifest and visible so that we have the opportunity to step into the invitation that is divinely given to us, these great and precious, these exceedingly great and precious promises in Christ Jesus. We have been given these invitations to step into a manifestation of who we are according to his opinion of us. So when Jesus appears, God appears. God looks like Jesus. But when Jesus appears, not only does God appear, when Jesus appears, you appear. And you appear with him in glory, which means you appear with him in God's good opinion of who you are and who Jesus is. God has the same opinion of you that he has of Jesus. So when you see Jesus, you see you. And when you see the opinion that God the Father has of Jesus Christ, you get to see the opinion that God the Father has of you. Because when Jesus appears, then your life also appears in him, in God's good opinion. I'm trying to think if there's any other ways I can say the same thing. Does that make sense? So when we surrendered our lives to follow Jesus, we gave up the right to an opinion of ourselves. We gave up the right to walk in the way of the old man. And we gave up our right to have an opinion of ourselves that differs from his opinion of us. That's part of what it means to get saved. That's part of what it means to be a follower of Jesus. That's part of what it means to surrender our lives to Jesus. Part of surrendering our lives to Jesus is surrendering our own opinion of ourselves to Jesus' opinion of us, or to the opinion that Jesus' life expresses to us about who we are. John 1 says, "The Word became flesh, the Logos became flesh, and dwelt amongst us, and we beheld his glory." You know that verse? Well, one version that I read recently says, instead of the word "word" or the word "logos," it used the word "blueprint." The original blueprint became flesh and dwelt amongst us. That your life has been hidden with Christ in God, being kept safe in Christ with God. What happened is that at the fall, at that disaster that happened in the garden where man chose independence from God, what man did in effect is chose to live according to their own opinion of themselves based on the track record and the history of their lives lived. So at the fall, mankind lost sight of who God is, and in losing sight of who God is, lost sight of who they were, and their identity, mankind's identity, the truth of who we are, the reality that we've been called to live in, was lost in our choice to separate ourselves from God's covering. We stepped into our own opinion of ourselves and we became self-judges. We became self-righteous. In that place, we lost sight. In that place, we opened ourselves up to all sorts of influence that would seek to influence us away from who we truly are in Him. But God had a plan. His plan was our lives have been kept hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is our life, appears, we also will appear with Him in glory in God's good opinion. So in other words, we lost everything and we had no chance of getting it back and it was all gone, but God had a plan. He kept the truth of who you are hidden in Him with a plan that He was going to reveal the truth of who you are in Christ when He manifested the truth of who He is on the planet. That Jesus is not just the Son of God. He's not just the perfect revelation of what God's like. He's not just, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Jesus is also the Son of Man. He's the perfect revelation of who you are and who I am. And this is also true. If you've seen Him, you've seen you. So my question is, have you seen Him and how much of Him have you seen? And how often do you spend time looking at Him and beholding Him and marveling at the glory of the life that Jesus lived? Because His life is your life. The key to you discovering who you are is only found in Him, because your life has been kept hidden, safe, secured in the vault of God with Christ. And He has opened the door to the vault when Jesus came on the scene and He walked on the planet. The original blueprint became flesh and we beheld His glory as in a mirror, according to 2 Corinthians. The original blueprint, the original you, the you that there was, the you that was in the heart and mind of God before all creation even began, has been kept hidden in Christ, safe from every outside influence, safe from all the perversion, from all the twisting, from all the lies that have tried to batter you down, that your life before the beginning of time, God had a plan and He kept it safe in the vault of Himself. And when He expresses Himself, part of what He's doing is He's expressing to you who you are. Your original blueprint. Jesus is you. Now, let me quantify it. In some senses, what I said just then is absolutely not true. But in other senses, what I said is true. That when Jesus is manifest, you and who you are is also made manifest so that you have the opportunity to step into who you are. Because at the fall, we all lost ourselves. And we've been living in a lost world. We grew up in a lost world. We grew up in a world that has completely lost its bearings, completely lost sight of the original blueprint. But God has made a way for us to rediscover the original blueprint, to come into alignment with who we've been called to be. That's going to take intentionality. That's going to take us being purposeful with the way that we live and choosing to set our mind on heavenly things, not on things of the earth. Choosing to take off the old man and put on the new man. Choosing to wake up in the morning and say, hey, I'm not what the lies have tried to tell me that I am, but I am who Jesus tells me that I am. And if I lose sight of who I am, I start believing the lies, then go back to Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. Go back to one of the Gospels and look at Jesus and rediscover Jesus, because when you rediscover Jesus, you'll rediscover God, but you'll also rediscover you, because when Christ, who is our life, appears, we will appear with Him in God's good opinion and His glory. What I need is 10 people to run up the front. Go, Elise, thank you. I need to make a line across the front. A straight line across the front, yep. Come close. Come on, Jared, that's it, mate. Yes, fantastic, all right. That's good. Okay, we're going to do this quick, guys, so listen to the instructions. We're going to have a game of Chinese whispers. And I am holding guys, I am holding the original blueprint. I'm going to be holding the original blueprint, which actually my iPhone is going to be holding the original blueprint. So I have the original blueprint, and what I'm going to do is I'm going to share the original blueprint, the original thing that I've written down. I'm going to share it, and here's the rules. You get to whisper it in the ear of the person next to you so that the other person can't hear it, and you can only say it once, and you cannot repeat any words. You just have to say it once, and if you've forgotten what it is, then you just have to do your best to remember. Okay? Are those instructions clear? You got it? And I'm doing this as an example of what has happened through human history about our identity. Okay, I'm not going to say it over the microphone because then everyone's going to hear it. Go for it. I've made it hard to remember on purpose. It's not short. The truth of who you are is not just one sentence. At about this point, some of you are probably trying to think, like, how can I engage in the word of knowledge? And the prophetic, some of the Old Testament prophets. We're just about up to the book of Malachi now. And at the end, we're going to bring Jesus on the scene again. No, you just hear it once. That's just once. There's some additions being added to the mix here. All right, here is the book of Malachi. We've gone through from Adam all the way through the Old Testament now. Now, all the way through this line, we've been trying to remember back to, okay, what was the original blueprint? What was the original word? What was the word at the beginning? And this person was like, oh, man, I can't even remember what the word is. I'm at the beginning. I can't even remember what the word is at the beginning. And then we've gone ding, 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 and we've gone through the Old Testament now, and we're at Malachi right now, and we're going to hear what Malachi has to say, and then I'm going to be the original blueprint made flesh, and I'm going to clarify what was said at the beginning.
Okay, it said free cheeseburgers at Matt's house after church.
Wow! 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 So.
It said, once upon a time, there was a man who had 10 sausages, and I can't remember the rest. That's what it said.
Once upon a time, there was a man who attended sausages, and I can't remember the rest. Now, this is a funny example, but honestly, this is what our human history has actually looked like up until Christ, is that we've been scratching for like, flip, what did God say? What did he say? Oh, man. Let's just say sausages. Sausages and something about cheeseburgers. Who are we again? Sausages and something about cheeseburgers. And it's a gross, it's grossly different from what was originally said. Here's the original statement. This is what I represented God. This is what God said in the beginning and what God has come to clarify in the right now. God has come to clarify all your sausages and cheeseburgers, all the sausage and cheeseburger opinions of who you are based on your own opinion. But this is what was actually said at the start. I am an anointed, appointed, filled with God, love baptized, living in the life of Almighty God, Son of the King of Kings. Very different from cheeseburgers and sausages. All right, give them a clap. You guys can take a seat. Thank you. Here's the deal, guys. The original blueprint became flesh and dwelt amongst us, and we beheld his glory. And Paul says we beheld his glory as in a mirror and are transformed into the same image from glory to glory by the Spirit of the Lord. And wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. You will know the truth of who you are, and where will you experience the truth of who you are? You will experience the truth of who you are in the face of God, in the glory of God, which is in the face of Jesus Christ. That if you want to know who you are, if you want to know what kind of life is available for you to live, what kind of life is available for you to live in which you could say, I was born for this. That you could wake up every morning and get to the end of every day, and at the end of every day you could say, man, today was a day I was born for this. Today is a day the Lord has made, and I'll rejoice in it. Today is a day the Lord has made, and it's a day that he's made for me to fully be myself. And at the end of your day, I hope you can say, I was born for this. And maybe you're doing stuff, maybe you're working a job that, hey, I don't know, Matt, like, it's not really the ideal. It's kind of a means to an end. But you can still live the Jesus life in the middle of whatever job you're in, in the middle of whatever you're doing. Even if you're doing a job that you're not particularly gelling with right now, you can still live a Jesus life. You can still live a life that's conducive to who you are in the middle of that job. This life is available to you no matter if you're in prison or in a palace. Paul lived this life in prisons and in palaces, in chains and free, in shipwrecks. He knew what it was like to live this life in weakness and in strength. Whether you're sick or you're in health, it doesn't matter what you're going through in your life, you can choose to live the life that you have been called to live, to partake of the divine nature. To live in the nature of God, when Christ who is your life appears, you will also appear with him in glory. And when you appear with him in glory and his good opinion, you get to choose whether you align your life with his good opinion of who you are or not. And we all get to make that decision. Not once in our lives, but every day that we wake up, we get to make that decision. So I want to leave you with this thought, and I'm going a couple of minutes over time, and I apologize for that, but I want to leave you with a practical thought that you can take away and actually apply to your lives, and this is the thought. I have discovered a little bit about who my kids are as their dad. I've discovered that my daughters, Ari and Sienna, they both love art. They both love creating stuff. They both love drawing pictures. They both love painting things, and they love art. And so what I've done is I've made space in my house for them to have the opportunity to express who they are in the culture of my house. So practically what I've done is I have an art table with two art drawers now, because the art stuff keeps expanding. So now there's two art drawers, and there's often art stuff everywhere. And also on top of that, I have a dining room table, which is not my favorite dining room table, but it's very, very utilitarian. It's a Koldi table. It's kind of cool. It looks like a piece of Swiss cheese. It's got holes all through it and drawing all over it, and it's just got cuts in it and burn marks all over it. And it was an old soldering table where they would make circuit boards. And so the drill marks and all that are in it from there, but there's kids drawing all over it. And it's just, it's the table that if I had a flash table that maybe I would prefer to have for me, it wouldn't be as conducive for them being able to be themselves, for my kids being able to be themselves. But I've chosen a bit of an older table so that there's more freedom in my house for them to express who they are as artists. So I've made room in the environment of my life and of our house for my daughters to express who they are and be themselves. And I think it's important that in our lives we make intentional room. We are purposeful with making room in our lives for us to partake of the divine nature and express the divine nature, which is your nature. And as you do that, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And you'll sit in the seat on a Sunday morning, and you will feel the freest you've ever felt in your life. You'll feel that your inner world has no chains on it, that you are, everything feels fresh. Everything feels new. Everything feels free. Everything feels love. But I think it takes us choosing to make space in our lives, to make room in our lives for us to express who we are in the nature of God. So that's practically for me, that's one of the reasons why I love going on mission trips. That's why I love sometimes walking down the road or going to Otangere or going to Romanga or going for a walk down the road and praying for the sick. Sometimes I don't feel like that. Sometimes I don't feel like doing that. Sometimes I don't feel like having an art table in my house and messy art stuff everywhere and an old cheese, Swiss cheese looking coldy, burnt, drawn all over table. Sometimes that's not the most convenient thing for me, but it's required so that space can be made for my kids to be able to express who they are. Just the same way as me walking down the road, even when I don't feel like it sometimes, is required so that I can make space in my life for me to express the truth of who I am, even when sometimes I'm like, oh man, the lies are bogging me down right now and I don't feel like this is fully me, but I know that I've seen in the life of Jesus, this is me, and when Christ who is my life appears, I will appear with him in glory, and I surrender my opinion of myself and I take on your opinion of me. G'day, Lake. How are you? High five. Boom. Oh, Noah. Hey, buddy. Oh, good try. Yeah, awesome. Oh, yeah. Bam. Bam. Boom. Boom again. Yeah. Awesome. So I want you to just, maybe if we can get the band to come up, and we're just going to finish with a song, and yes, the nature of high fives has been expressed. Oh, yeah. Boom, yeah. And if you guys could just stand up with me. And I want to pray for you. And I want to pray that you fall in love with the life of Jesus all over again. My prayer is that this week, here's my prayer for you, that this week it wouldn't be discipline, but that you wouldn't be able to get out of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. That literally your eyes would be glued to the pages of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, that the life of Jesus would become so fascinating to you that literally your life is hidden in his life. And for you to discover you looks like for you to discover him in a fresh light today, but also this week. And so I want to pray that you fall in love with Jesus all over again. I want to pray that I fall in love with Jesus all over again. I want to pray that our city falls in love with Jesus all over again. I want to pray that we fall so in love with Jesus that we literally become a living expression of who he is, so that when people see us, they see him, and in him they see them. So I want to pray for that first. And then I'm going to ask for the Holy Spirit just to speak to you. And I'm going to ask you to just to be open before the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to ask him to speak to you about how you might be able to make more room in your life, practically. Really, like how you might be able to make more room in your life to express the nature of God through your life. How you might be able to make an art table in your life, or maybe get rid of your flash dining room table and get an old, coldy, Swiss cheese looking table. How you could rearrange some things to actually step into a greater expression of what it is to live a Jesus life. And I think at the essence of the Jesus life, at the essence of the nature of God, at the essence of what he's like, he is not on the planet to get, he is on the planet to give. That the essence of Jesus, the core essence of love is not in the game to get, love is in the game to give. Love is not in the room to get, love is in the room to give. Love is not at your workplace to get what you can get from your workplace, but to give what you can give to your workplace. Love is never there to get, love is always there to serve and wash others' feet. And so it's asking the question, what does it look like to live a life of givenness? And so, Father, right now, I just thank you that you are right here. I thank you for these great and precious promises. I thank you for the divine nature, that we've been invited to partake of the divine nature. I thank you that when we see you, it's as in a mirror. I thank you for us to live the lives that you've called us to live, is to live like Jesus. That we have been hidden with Christ on the same shelf, in the same department of the heavenly supermarket, at the very most valuable aisle that there is in God. We have been hidden in you. And God, I'm asking you to uncover who each person is to them in a fresh way. And I ask that they would fall in love with Jesus all over again. Holy Spirit, stir in our hearts a great love for Jesus. An even greater love for Jesus, an even greater fascination in Jesus. That Jesus will become so fascinating to each one of us, God, that it would be hard to stop thinking about the glory of who you are, Jesus. And we surrender our opinions of ourselves, and we surrender to your good opinion of us, the same opinion that you have of Jesus. We thank you, God. And I ask you to speak to each person in the room about ways where they could make room in their lives for expressions of the divine nature. Whether it be saying, hey, Karina or Andy or Matt, I want to come on some of the trips with you to some of the places, and I want to be a part of starting to see the miraculous explode. I want to see more of that stuff. Or whether it be, hey, I want to start prophesying over a person a day. Or whether it be, hey, I want to have a goal in my finances to give so much to the poor every month, because I want to live what it is to be a given person, not a getting person. Whatever it might be, just ask the Holy Spirit, what's a way that you can make extra room for expression of the divine nature? And as you do that, we're just going to finish with a song. We're going to officially finish the meeting, but I just want to encourage you, if you want to come forward and just worship, we're going to sing that song from the head to the heart, and I just want this revelation of the beauty of Jesus to go from our heads to our hearts in a greater way, in a profound way. And so if you're saying yes, if you're like, yeah, I want that too, I want this revelation of what Jesus is like and what I'm like, I want this, the beauty of God, to go from my head to my heart in a deeper way, then just feel free to come up the front, and we're just going to sing this song together and just trust that God's going to do something marvelous in our hearts this morning. So let's take it away, team. Boom.